This is a podcast from Minute Media.
Red Sox fans, here are the bastards of Boston baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Red Sox Deep Dives. Tonight, we're going to be talking about a potential matchup against the Yankees, a potential matchup against possibly the Blue Jays, and then which one we each individually prefer. So probably going to agree on the matchups, but we'll get into both regardless. Andrew, Job, you guys ready to do this?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start off with simply, which team do you want to face?
Bring on New York. I think that's the way I'd want to go. It would definitely be the most stressful. I don't think that's even a question. You know, it's New York. It's game seven, essentially, even though it's, you know, game one. But to be able to knock them out of the playoffs, that's just an experience that you can't replicate. And to be able to do that would be great. Obviously, Toronto is probably better off this year, but I don't know how any sane person can say that they wouldn't want to face New York.
Job's going the other way, I can feel it. Okay.
How can you not want to knock off the Yankees? I mean, I had that song queued for like a half hour. I was waiting for that moment. Game seven against the Yankees, for all intents and purposes, is what you live for as a Red Sox fan. Like, that's it. The World Series kind of sucks. If you could beat the Yankees, that's what matters. At least people in my generation, I don't know about, you know, you old folks, how you guys feel about winning it all versus, you know, the beating the Yankees. But at least for me, 04, it felt like we were going to steamroll whoever we played. Could have played anybody else in the entire league, and we could have given them a two-run head start, and we would have steamrolled anybody. Because once you beat New York, like, that was it. And that feeling of being in a win-or-all game against New York is something that fans take for granted. Like, playing the Yankees is... We're going to have to, unfortunately, watch it on ESPN with listening to A-Rod and talk about, you know, the history and all that. We know the history. I can't wait to knock off the Yankees in the wild card game if we can get them there. I actually want them to make it so we can beat them. But it's not going to be them.
Before I get into my pick, getting this out of the way, attention listeners from across the galaxy, all the way from Australia to Boston, do we have a pew problem? If so, our friends at Manscaped have cleared you for takeoff with their fourth generation and brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Kick your pubes to the next planet with the Performance Package 4.0. The orbits in your pants will feel like you're at zero gravity when you use the best tools for the job from the leaders in male grooming. Join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped and get your rocket ready for takeoff by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker. It's like having a little astronaut chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code FANSIDED20 at manscaped.com. for a clean Trinity and beyond. Your Spaceballs will thank you. Getting back to the topic at hand, I also would pick the Yankees, and it's got nothing to do with the emotions or the history or whatever. It's just simply the better matchup. We could conceivably shut their lineup down if they have the luxury of starting Gerrit Cole that game. Perhaps we get shut down as well, and it ends up being a close game going down to the later innings. But Toronto can put up a five spot on you early, and then it's an uphill battle. So I definitely would prefer the Yankees. Having said that, I think Toronto is the best built team to go deep than the rest of us. I don't think the Red Sox are deep enough. Maybe some kind of magic happens and we do go on a run. But, you know, the way the team's currently constituted, I just don't think we're built for it. And New York's probably even less built for it. So I definitely prefer the Yankees. And I'll also say this, because I don't think the Yankees are built for it, if they knock us out, I mean, it'll suck, but I'm not gonna stress out, because I know Tampa's probably going to throttle them. And if they don't, Houston will. So that's kind of where I'm at with them.
Well, there's two things here, Terry. One is they probably, the way the situation is going now, won't have the luxury of starting Gerrit Cole against us unless things align perfectly. They're not going to be able to take a break and reset their pitching rotation the way they would like. The other thing, you can't tell me that the history and all that doesn't matter, because beating the Yankees is the best feeling in the world. There's no feeling like it as a baseball fan. And if you can think back to the last time both these teams were good, it's been a while. It's almost like we've been exchanging. Like, the Yankees had it for a couple of years. The Red Sox were good for a couple of years. And the Yankees were supposed to be a juggernaut this year, according to literally everybody, including, you know, everyone on this show but me, who didn't think that the Yankees were going to be winning the AL East, and or maybe not even in the playoffs. You can't tell me that having both these teams be good isn't exhilarating. What we wanted from this season is to have a competitive, you know, summer. We're going to have a competitive summer, and we get the chance to beat the Yankees. It's like perfect. And you know MLB is salivating over that opportunity.
Well, just real quick, I mean, I'm not saying it's not good for baseball and it won't be exciting. I just simply want them because it's the more winnable matchup. That's all I'm thinking about right now. I'm thinking big picture.
There you go. Terry is high and bloom. I like it.
I'm trying to think beyond it. I'm just looking at the schedule here. So the Yankees schedule. So
Cole. Yeah, I just did it out.
Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead then.
Cole is exactly perfectly scheduled to throw on the wild card day.
Okay.
Damn it. Like, there goes
perfect
that.
5 days rest each time. Yeah. So that. Yeah, because they have a couple days off in between, and then there's a day off before the play-in game. So yeah, he'll be on the exact amount of rest that he'd need. And I think, you know, you want to face the team's best pitcher, the best opponent.
No, you don't.
And I think that's – yeah, you do. At the end of the day,
no, you don't. Come on. You want to be Jordan Montgomery or one of these guys versus Gerrit Cole. Because if Gerrit Cole is pitching, we're sweating bullets the whole game. And we're going to be sweating bullets the whole game anyway. But, oh, my God, it's going to be stressful.
Okay, just for the heck of it, they have Chris Sale going on Saturday in game 161. Evaldi goes Sunday in game 162. Hopefully, I don't want to say more likely than not, because this has been the most bipolar season, and my thoughts on this team's postseason prospects changes by the week. But if the Red Sox have the luxury of resting them, they can probably pick whoever they want as well to start that game. So Gerrit Cole, I still want Evaldi did Chris Sale change your mind tonight? Are you guys back on Sale, or are you still?
No, but I'll tell you what, if Eovaldi goes out and dominates Gerrit Cole and the Yankees in game one, then that's who I want. And if he goes out and he, you know, he shits the bed, well, then I want Chris Sale. You know, it's really at this point, we're going to get to see the wild card matchup 2 weeks before the wild card game, assuming the Yankees get there, which is a big assumption. Like, we're getting a preview, a sneak peek. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, you know what? I have actually flip-flopped on that. I think Pedro kind of changed my mind when he was in the broadcast booth the other day. Said that he would throw Sale out there. The Yankees haven't faced him, and I kind of didn't realize that. They hadn't faced him yet, and that'll be the first time a lot of those players have seen him, or maybe not have seen him, but they, you know, you have lefties in that lineup that kind of brought them back into the playoff hunt. If you can take out Rizzo and you can guarantee that Joey Gallo is probably going to strike out four times against Chris Sale, you're cutting that lineup down significantly. So that is where I'm at. Sale's velocity ticking up to 97 today was a positive for me. Nate's velocity has been down, which is a little concerning. So right now I'm going with Chris Sale against the Yankees.
I'm not going to hate it. I think either way, I'm going to be okay with it. I'm not going to second guess it either way, because it's really at this point, I never thought I would say this. It's stud A and stud B. I mean, there's not really a one and a two on this team. It's more like having two ones and three fours. Or maybe 3-5, depending on how you look at the rest of the rotation. So I don't care. Like, that's how I look at it, Terry, frankly. I could care less. I just want to watch the Red Sox dominate.
I'm pulling up the game logs right now. So,
and let me throw this scenario out really quick while you do that.
Yep.
I'd want Sale for 5. I'd want Houck for 2. Whitlock for maybe 1 or 2 to finish it up. That would be my ideal situation if they got the lead early in the game.
So here's the – I'm 4 games back right now. Let's see. I'll pull up one more. These are the earned runs Eovaldi's given up against the Yankees in his last 5 starts in order. So going backwards – from most recent to furthest out, he's given up 2 runs, 2 runs, 1 run, 1 run, and 1 run. Those are his last 5 starts. I was doing it on the fly, so I didn't go further than that. If he goes out there and pitches 1-run baseball, I have to start Eovaldi. I still do. I just, if Sale goes out there and he's not sharp, and he hasn't had really an AC performance where he was super electric. He did have 8 strikeouts tonight. I think that ties his previous most this season. But
it does.
If he goes out there and just scuffles and gives up a few runs, and then our shaky bullpen has to pick it up from there, we don't even know if we're getting Whitlock back before then with the pectoral strain. That's hard for me. That's a brutal winter of me being bitter about not going with your legitimate best guy that has been your best guy all year. So it's, if Eovaldi goes out there and gives it up, I can swallow that pill. It's an easier pill for me to swallow.
Yeah. See, I think Red Sox ownership thinks the opposite. They think if we go out there and it's not our $32 million a year ace, and we lose, well, then we're going to get questions all year about how we didn't go with Chris Sale.
Well,
and I can't say that's not true, because either way, it's going to be true if they lose in that game.
That's an old school, antiquated way of thinking it. And I'm not saying that that's not going to be the thought process. Maybe that is the thought process, but it's just a tough pill. Really, to swallow, I would say. But any more thoughts on the starting pitcher, Andrew?
No, I really do need to see Nate's velocity tomorrow or not tomorrow, then Friday. It's been diminishing, and that is a little concerning. I don't want to push him too hard. And if you can get him extra day rest and you can trust Chris Sale, that's how I'm leaning, because I'd have confidence with Nate going into game one of an ALDS should they get there. No one expected Nate to make this many starts. I don't know if he's ever made this many starts before. So fatigue is absolutely a factor at this point of the year for him. And everyone, you know, not only having 60 games last year, it's a weird situation, unprecedented. I don't know. I think they've really gotten everything out of Nate that they could have asked for. And I would hate to see that get soured if he didn't have his command, or not command, or if he was two over the plate in the first couple innings and they pushed three or four across the board and didn't get back into it.
He has his previous high for games started in a season is 33. That was in 2014. He's at 30 now, so he could potentially have what? Maybe he could tie that, actually. We'll see, but if he looks good and the velocity's mid to upper 90s, I'm not going to worry about it. But
now, what if he gets shelled? Are you going to change your mind and say you want Chris Sale?
Then I would be more open-minded. Yeah, if he does get knocked around.
Is it more open-minded, or is it I want Chris Sale? Like, would I still have to convince you, or are you just going to say, yeah, okay, it's time for Chris Sale to go be Chris Sale?
I would probably begrudgingly admit that it's probably Sale.
Because here's what worries me. Nick Pivetta was great. And Nick Pivetta is not the pitcher that Nate Eovaldi is. Granted, Nick Pivetta was great against Toronto the first time he faced them. Second time he faced them, he was good. Third time he faced them, the wheels fell off. And the fourth time, we're not even going to talk about the 18-run game. But you're going to show Nate Eovaldi to the Yankees two times in a 5-day span, or a 10-day span, rather. That concerns me. That's an awful lot to see a pitcher when you already seen him in division. He was on the Yankees. He was on the Rays. He's pitched against a lot of these, you know, these teams. He knows the environment, but they know him too. I know it's a lot of new faces on the Yankees, but All of the Yankee hitters have seen Nate at least once, if I'm not mistaken. So that concerns me, to show the same pitcher twice in 2 weeks, and it's going to be his fifth time this season. So that worries me.
Something to consider here as well. This is surprising to me, but he only made two starts this year against the Blue Jays. So it must have just been how things lined up. He just only faced him
twice.
And
Nick Pivetta made five.
Yeah.
It's just the way it lined up.
Yeah, apparently. So Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde in those starts gave up zero earned runs in his earlier start this season. That was in June. And then gave up seven earned runs in August. So
if they're facing the Jays, to me, it's not even a question. It's Chris Sale. I don't want Nate going out there. I think they would. Yeah, I would rather have Chris Sale there.
Think about that lineup for a second, and think about showing them the same pitcher three times when you have Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the heart of that lineup. I mean, that is a scary, from Springer on down, is a scary 1-5. And I think they might be the best offense in baseball outside of Los Angeles. I think Dodgers might edge them out just barely. But even then, I think Toronto could be the best offense. If you added a Max Scherzer to the Toronto Blue Jays, I think they win this division in a landslide. And I think they are being talked about as legit World Series contenders. If you add just one more ace.
The thing that makes me uncomfortable with Chris Sale against the Blue Jays is he's just been so protected all year long. I mean, he faced the Rays once or twice and kind of walked the tightrope in both of those starts, but he's had the luxury of facing some bad baseball teams since he got called up in early August. So, and he's not going to face the Yankees this weekend. So they maneuvered him around another tough team. So I just would hate to see a really potent offense tune him up.
You think about it as he hasn't faced a good offense. We know what Chris Sale is. I think about it as they haven't seen Chris Sale. Like, the advantage to me instantly goes to Sale when it comes to unfamiliarity. Not, oh, we have to worry about whether or not he's going to show up, because I think in his career, I mean, I understand that this injury is new to Sale and it's really tough to bounce back from Tommy John the way that he has done, but he's shown up in every big game you've ever put him in. These young Blue Jays hitters will be overmatched.
The problem for me is he hasn't been putting guys away very easily. There's been a lot of deep counts. He hasn't gone past the fifth inning very much. And I just don't know that he really has a second out pitch right now. And that's a lineup that's probably going to grind out some at-bats. I mean, you're looking at Vladdy Jr., Marcus Semien, Bo Bichette. Lourdes Gurriel is one of the most underrated players in Major League Baseball. I think he's top five or six right now and runs batted in. Randall Grichuk has given us fits. Teoscar Hernandez, George Springer. That's almost a murderer's row.
I mean, it is. They're the best offense in baseball, maybe the second best.
I guess we're not going to be comfortable either way, but
we're never going to be comfortable against either of these teams. That's what comes with facing a division opponent, you know, in a win-or-go-home game. But that's what it's all about. I'm super excited either way. I am ruling out at this point. I'm putting nails in the coffin of the Seattle Mariners. They're only two games out, but they're two teams to chase. I'm putting nails in their coffin, and the Oakland Athletics are out of it at this point. So it's down to three teams for two spots. And the good thing is the Red Sox have a lead. The better thing is they also have the tiebreaker for home field advantage against both of these clubs.
Yeah, you know, I want to see how Toronto responds, because they kind of bitched out today against the Rays. They took this whole card crap way too seriously. I mean, at the end of the day, you know where they're going to pitch a guy. It's like, if you can't hit a high fastball, it's not like they're going to throw it low and inside, you know? They blew it out of proportion. Then they absolutely drilled Kiermaier between the numbers. The pitching coach lost his mind. Their manager lost their mind. I don't know. It seemed like they kind of fell apart mentally. And now they're on a two-game skid. Who knows? If they don't win this the next game against Minnesota, I could see them spiraling, and we don't, you know, we're just taking it for, you know, it's a given that we'll face New York. I think Toronto really needs a rebound, because after Minnesota, they have the Rays one more time, correct?
I believe so, finish it out.
Yeah,
and the Rays aren't going to let up on the gas, because they're only a couple games ahead of Houston, and, you know, they're going to want home field. They're not, and it's not like old September baseball where you have 40 guys and 26 guys in your bullpen and you just throw out randos. They're going to have a competitive lineup each game. So Toronto, I think, really did themselves an injustice by just falling apart at the seams over a nothing controversy. And I think they'll regret that if they miss the playoffs by a game.
I hope it's New York. I mean, the more we were just talking about Toronto a minute ago, Toronto's just extremely uncomfortable to me. So it'd be a shame for them, because they made a bunch of bold moves, and you hate to see a team fail, but in the interest of us hopefully having a semi-deep run, I just got to root for the Yankees to get that second wild card spot.
I think either way, the Red Sox will be in a sticky situation. But if you go out and you lose to the Jays and they get bounced in the ALDS, the season is a much worse failure than if you lose to the Yankees. And that sounds a little bit off, because normally you'd always want to beat the rival, right? But I think based on what the Yankees were supposed to be and what you were supposed to be, if you don't beat the Yankees, I've changed my opinion on this a little bit. The season's a failure. If you don't beat the Jays, I don't know that the season's not a failure, because I think they are one of the two best teams in the American League, and I think it's them and the Jays. Them and the Rays.
Andrew?
I don't know. I throw everything out the window when it's Red Sox and Yankees. I don't think record matters. I think it's just a one-on-one battle to the death there. So I don't consider it a failure if they lost the Yankees. It would hurt more than if they lost the Blue Jays. There's no doubt about that in my mind. But either way, I think this was a highly successful season, especially from just things outside of the major league team. I chalk it up to a win no matter what.
I've been up and down as far as what my expectations have been. Obviously, they were bad to start with. And then I think a lot of us were kind of fantasizing about a potential World Series run in early July when everything was just going great. And, but you know, before Perez fell off and Pivetta fell off and Richards and the bullpen started getting, you know, a little bit out of whack. And now, you know, as recently as probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, I didn't think we were gonna be in a wild card position, especially when Toronto momentarily had that number one seed. So I guess given where I don't think we're built for the postseason anyway, and we've struggled when it comes to perseverance in this second half at times with, you know, being anemic when it comes to putting up runs and terrible base running and errors and stuff. I can't say it's a massive disappointment, but, you know, I didn't think we'd get in the playoffs, so I guess I'll just be happy if
the wild card game to me doesn't count as the playoffs. It just doesn't. You have to win the wild card game to be in the playoffs. I'm old school like that. You got to be one of the last couple. And if you lose the wild card game in a non-competitive fashion, it's going to leave the most bitter taste in everyone's mouths.
If we choke, I just don't see it.
If we get blown out by the Jays and it's like 5-0 in the third, and we lose the game 7-2, then this season's a failure. And I hate to put it all on one game, but that's just how I feel about, you know, the state of the Red Sox. And the Red Sox need to make the wild card from a competitiveness standpoint, from a how much they mean to the fans and whether the fans are going to keep coming back to the ballpark. They need this win. I mean, 3 straight years without playoffs that's not Boston. And I realize that I am spoiled and I'm in my 20s and I've seen so many rings across all of Boston sports, but you got to be in it. If not every year, every other year. That's the nature of a big market. And if they choke this away to the Yankees, they get blown out by the New York Yankees, it'll be a disaster.
If they no-show that game, then yeah, it's a disappointment.
If you lose, you know, 2-1 because Garrett Cole pitches a 10-strikeout game and Chris Sale gives up 2 runs over 7, you tip your cap. I mean, what the hell else can we do? But if it's just not capitalizing on opportunities, if it's 2 outs, bases loaded, and they can't get a runner in, or a guy on third with 1 down and they strike out, then it's a whole different story.
Any final thoughts, Andrew?
I mean, they're not going to miss the wild card game. I'm very confident in saying that.
Famous last words. Just kidding.
No, I've been saying this all year. I had them winning 87 and losing the wild card game, and they've surpassed my win total, I think, or matched it tonight. So
yeah.
Right now I'm just house money, and I have confidence in this team.
Like I said, I'm up and down. It's been a wonky season, and you know, with COVID and the sticky stuff getting banned, and so it's just we're all over the place. I'm a little bit worried about
if they lose, and it's a competitive game, then all of a sudden I feel differently. But I worry about this team in two ways. This is my final concluding thought of the regular season, because the next time that I'm on the air, we will be either in the playoffs or not. This team is either a 15 runs a game or a no-show offensively, and that worries the hell out of me. We need this.
We do. We do need it, and we'll just see how it plays out. This New York series going to be a big test. So we could, if we sweep the series, we might be shooting ourselves in the foot. Cause then guess what? Maybe it's Toronto in a couple weeks. So
if that happens, I'll be upset.
Yeah. So we'll see, but my anxiety's up. I know Job's anxiety's up. Andrew's playing it cool right now, but we'll see. It's interesting. It's been an interesting season, and as podcasters, that's really what you hope for. And hopefully the interesting continues for another handful of weeks.
Well, Terry, if you were to tell me on April 1st. That this was how the season was going to end. It was going to come down to the last week of the season, and we might have to play the Yankees or the Jays in the wild card. What would you say? You'd say, hell yeah, that's a successful season. And I know what Andrew thinks. To me, it's the same. So it's been a great season, no matter what happens over the next week.
Absolutely. So we will wrap on that. We'll be back Sunday night, weather permitting. Not going to be great this weekend, but if everything goes as scheduled, we'll be back Sunday night to talk about what did happen in this Yankee series. Charlie, myself, and Jason will be on that show. Everybody, take care.